and New Testament talk about three stages of our life. So we try to find a way to understand what the book of Romans and what the other Old Testament and New Testament talk about, and see whether we see the big picture. There are three stages of our life. The first stage is sinner. According to Paul's wording, the sinner is the one without Holy Spirit, is the one without Jesus Christ, and is the one without the Word of God, and is hopeless. Sinner like this, remain like this, at the end of his life, he will go to hell. But one thing I do know, God loves sinner, and God saved them. How? I want you to write that right beside sinner. You write down Luke 19:10. The reason why Jesus Christ come down on earth is to seek and to save what was lost. Sinner was lost. And we have to realize that sinner were lost. Lost in their own wickedness. But our Lord Jesus Christ loved sinner. He died for sinner. In Romans chapter 5, 6, 5, 8, and 5, 10. While we are still weak, on a set day, on the Passover day, Jesus Christ died on the cross. While we are yet sinner, God demonstrated his love for us. He died for us. While we are still God's enemy, he died for us. So, Josh, could you read that? Luke 19:10, Romans 5, 6, 8, and 10. That is the first stage of our life.
Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.
So remember that. I want you to memorize these Bible verses. 19:10. You have to impress it upon your heart. The reason why Jesus Christ come down on earth is to seek and to save. If you want to walk with Jesus, you do the same thing. Don't just say, well, walk by the sinner, say, well, he's a sinner. He has no Jesus Christ. He go to hell. Let him go to hell. No. By doing so, you're not walking with Jesus. You know what Jesus' name? Matthew 1:21. Jesus' name means Savior. 1:23. His name called Emmanuel. That means God's with us. If you want to walk with Jesus, all your friends who doesn't know Jesus, you got to share with them about Jesus Christ. Tell him that you were a sinner too, but I was found. Jesus found me and saved me. I want to take you to Jesus so that you can come to know him. So that you be saved by him. Go to Romans chapter 5, 6, 8, and 10. Josh?
Romans 5, 6. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of the Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
There's three stages. The first stage is powerless. We can't save ourselves. We can do nothing. But just at the appointed time. That appointed time is the right time. God sent his Son to come down and die for the ungodly on the Passover day. That's the right time. By doing so, he proved that his son is the Lamb of God. Secondly, at what time, while we were still sinners, we still sinning against God? Not that we turn around and then die, Christ died for us. No. While we are still sinners, while we are still ungodly, while we are still powerless, we can't even save ourselves, help ourselves. And thirdly, while we are still enemy of God. When we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Three times in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, Christ died for sinners. Verse 10, Christ died for God's enemy. That's God's love. So that's the first stage of our life. At that stage, we are hopeless. We are without God. We don't have God's word within our heart. We don't have Jesus Christ within our heart. We don't even have Holy Spirit. We don't know who God is. That is the stage. The first stage. As for me, 30 some odd years ago, I'm like that. When come to my house and share the gospel to me, I deny Christ. I share Buddha to them. And when they go back to their own church, in the West Side Church, they write a report, visitation report. Don't bother visiting John Lamb. He's hopeless. He go to hell. That's what they say. That's true. If I don't repent, I will go to hell. 6 months later, my brother died in a car accident. And then our entire family turned around to come to know Jesus. Second stage. When my brother died in a car accident, we go to the church. Because of my third brother, he bring me to the West Side Church. I listen to the sermon. I don't understand. But he care about me. He want me to understand. So he take me from one Sunday school class to another Sunday school class. And ask me every time, what did you learn? I said, I don't learn anything. I don't understand what he's trying to say. Until one day, he take me another class. I listen to that teacher, and he become my co-worker now. His name called Simon. I don't recall whether he shared with me in Psalm 115 or Psalm 135. I don't recall which Psalm. Talk about Buddha. Talk about idol. It's not true God, it's a man-made God. It's a Jesus Christ, the true God. Oh, wow, it dawned on me. Yeah, I'm the one who believed in Buddha at that time. Telling me the God that I believe is not a real God. So I opened my mind. I opened my eyes. I said, come to my house at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tell me more about Jesus. And he come to my house and tell me about Jesus. And then I believe in Jesus Christ. Ever since that, no turning back. So stage two of my life is sinner, saved by grace through faith. Faith not in myself, nor in idol, man-made God, but faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. God make him Lord in Romans 1:4, because God raised him from the dead. In chapter 6, verse 9, through his resurrection, death cannot reign over his body. He won't die anymore. He only died once. He's the Lord of the living and the dead. He overcome life. He overcome death. He's the Lord of the living and of the dead. That's the person I believe.
Sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
By putting our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? God gave us His righteousness. You remember this stage? In the stage one, I'm a wicked person. I'm a sinner. Wicked in my thought, wicked in my deed, wicked through and through, the whole body, the whole thing, from toes to my head. No righteousness. Just like in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongue practice deceit. The poison viper are on their lips. Their mouth are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their way, and the way of peace they do not know. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. I want you to do me a favor to write that down. Chapter 3, verse 10 to 18. You write that down right in stage 1. Roman, right beside Cedar. Chapter 3, verse 10 to what? 18. Roman, chapter 3, verse 10 to 18. That is the stage 1 of our life. Unfortunately, this is the true description of what we are like before we come to know Christ. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they don't understand. Chapter 3, verse 10 to 18 is the first stage of our life. While we were powerless, while we are godless, while we are sinners, while we are God's enemy, Christ died for us. That is the stage that we are in. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, in stage 2 of their life, when God gave him righteousness, God credited in your account with righteousness, God's righteousness, and they forget that. They remain in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 18. They don't grow. What I mean is, there's no one righteous, not even one. Oh, he looked at that. This is a license for me to sin. No one understand, not even one who seek God. Then I don't need to seek God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. They remain to be worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. He remained not to do any good deed. Brother and sister, I want you to write it down right beside stage 2. You write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. But just to be precise, I want you to write down chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. And then in stage 3, walk with Jesus until we see Jesus Christ. You write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You know what 10 is like? I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You write down equal to the opposite the opposite of Romans chapter 3, 10 to 18. I tell you what it means by walk with Jesus until we see Jesus Christ. Walk with Jesus until we see Jesus Christ, that means we practice, each and every one of us should practice righteousness. Each and every one of us should seek God and try to understand God's word. Verse 12. Each and every one of us repent and become worthy of our calling as Christian, as God's son. Verse 12. Every one of us to do good. Practice to do good. Why? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In stage 1, we are worthless. But in stage 3, we are worthy of his calling. You got that? I give you some illustration. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Worthy of the calling you have received. Don't live a life that's worthless. Before it's worthless. Now it's worthy. Right? So you write down, walk with Jesus in stage 3. You write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Keep going. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. How do we work out? In stage one, we have together become worthless. Now, in stage 3, we have together become worthy of our calling. At one point, we are worthless. Now it's worthy. Valuable in God's sight. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10. And we pray this in order that
you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord. Go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 20. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, from the ignoble things, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, make holy, useful to the master, and prepare to do any good work. Right beside to do any good work, write down chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 10. Ephesians is the church, Timothy, pastor. Timothy is the pastor of the church of Ephesians, of the church of Ephesus. Later on, Apostle John was the pastor. Paul, telling the same in Ephesus to do good work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We were recreated the second time around. We are born again, created in Christ Jesus. For what reason? It's to do good work. That kind of good work God prepared in advance for us to do. He's telling the congregation to do that. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's telling the pastor to do the same. To be noble instrument, not to be ignoble. At one point in time, we are worthless, useless. Now he's useful in God's sight. You see that? That's three stages of our life. So what happened? What happened if I refuse to grow from sinner without Holy Spirit, without Jesus Christ, without Word of God, without hope, to sinner saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Now we have indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God within our heart. We have the glorious hope. We're going to inherit the inheritance. We're going to reign with Jesus Christ. We're going to become king with him. That's why he saved us. But in stage 2, we have to go to stage 3. We have to walk with Jesus. We have to start serving God. Remember the 5 things that we have to do for last week? What did I say? A, number 1. Study. B, number 2, memorize. C, practice. D, teach others. E, pray. Study what? Study Word of God. Memorize what? Memorize Word of God.
Practice what? Practice the word of God. Teach what? The word of God. Pray what? According to the word of God. According to His promise. You do these five things, I guarantee you, your prayer is so powerful. Before you open your mouth, God say, I know what you want. I fulfill your desires. I answer you. When we practice this fighting, it do you good, it do your children good, until 1,000 generations. You know what? Nowadays, people don't even do that. They just come to this worship on Sunday, they just listen to the sermon. When they go home, they don't check out what did the pastor say. Next week you ask them, what have you learned? Forget everything. They don't grab hold of that. Could you hold your Bible, Michael?
Yes.
Hold your Bible, leave it up. Fold it there. Hold your Bible. Is that how you hold your Bible? See, I take it already. You try to take the Bible from my hand. Try. You can't take it. I have five fingers. If I practice these five things, if you hold this with two fingers, you only study, you only memorize, you don't practice, you don't teach, you don't pray about that, you grab it and you take it away. I lost it. You grab all of that with five fingers. These five things, you practice it all the days of your life until you see Jesus Christ. It will do you a lot of good. Try that. Starting from day one, from today day. You do that, and your life will be changed. Today there's a lady at the beginning of our Bible study with the people in mainland China. She mentioned it to me. I've been Christian for 5 years. And then she said, well, actually it's 3 years because I'm wishy-washy. And she said to me, every night when I go to bed, I feel darkness fall into my body. I have no peace. I have anxiety attack. And she says she wants to empty herself. I say the problem is not empty yourself. The problem is you have nothing in your heart. If you have the word of God within your heart, Psalm 119, 165, great peace are they who love the law of the Lord. And nothing can make them stumble. How can you have darkness overwhelm your heart at night? You know, in David, Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3, blessed are they who delight in the law and meditate on it day and night. If you have God's word fill your heart, at darkness, no light. You still have God's word speaking to you. You have great peace. You have great joy. Jesus said, the word, the spirit gives life. Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 63. The flesh, this body, flesh and blood count for nothing. Do you no good? The word that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. If I have the word of God fill my heart, how dare the darkness can fall into my heart? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? darkness and light cannot coexist. If I turn on the light, no more darkness. Does it make sense? His problem is not empty yourself. He said, I want to practice empty myself. You don't empty yourself. You fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Does it make sense? You fill yourself with the Word of God. All these problems that they raise hinge on these five things that they don't practice. You got that? I have God's word within my heart. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 and verse 23. God is not man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he deceived me. He won't. Whatever he promised me, he will do it. Chapter 23, verse 23. Nothing can overcome me. If I have the word of God within my heart, and people will say, God has done great things for the people of Israel. How come you're so afraid? You're so afraid because you have no God's word within your heart. Oh man. So you think about this, you think about that, but not thinking about God's word. How sad it is. If I cannot sleep at night, I'm going to say to God, is there anything you want to talk to me? Your servant is here. Talk to me. You understand? I learned it from Samuel. If you cannot fall asleep, that means something God wants to talk to you. You just say to God, your servant is here. Speak to me. Tell me what I need to be. What I need to do. You got that? I also remember God's promise in Luke chapter 10 verse 19. I also remember in Romans chapter 16 verse 20. Won't be very long. Satan is going to tremble under my feet. You not to be afraid of Satan. Because we have no God's word. She called herself to be Christian. She didn't even read the Bible. Don't hold on to the promise of God. How sad it is. You know, if you memorize what I memorized, I don't think you'll be afraid. Number 23, 19, 23. Romans 16, 20. Luke 10:19-20. First John 4:4. Could someone read that out to me? Starting with Numbers 23:19-23. Josh?
Yeah. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?
What did he promise? Verse 23.
There is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done.
God has done great things for a Christian. Why do you have to be afraid? You don't have God's promise within your heart. You know, the reason why she has anxiety attack, she said that she has a stomach problem. She go to see a medical doctor, get some prescription later on, and they're coming. You know what? When you are anxious, your stomach is going to produce acid. I say, if you keep on like that, you're going to kill yourself. Your own acid is going to kill you. Proverbs 17:22. Cheerful heart is good medicine. When you have God's word, great peace are those who love the law of the Lord. And nothing can make them stumble. Why don't you spend time in meditate on the word of God that become a good medicine to you? You worry about this and worry about that, and that is your own imagination. You understand? People love to do their own thing. Even though they get good medicine, they don't take it. It's really sad. Romans 16:20. So why are you worrying about darkness? Aren't you know that we are Christian? God is a God of peace. We'll soon crush Satan under your feet. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. What is snake? Satan. Scorpion. Evil spirit. God, Jesus Christ, has given us authority to trample on snake and scorpion.
And to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you.
How come she's so afraid? She didn't memorize God's word. That's her decision. You understand? I asked her name. And she gave her name to me. I say, wow, I didn't see your name on last week. So, oh, last week I didn't come. I start praying for them. I get their name. I write down on the computer. I pray for them. Verse 20? 10:20?
However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Do not rejoice that the Spirit, the evil spirit, submit to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven. These particular Bible verses is given to the betrayer, Judah. Because he can cast the evil spirit out, and yet he himself go to hell. You got that? These particular words, 10:20, I want you to write it down. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And he's going to say to Jesus, Jesus, I call you Lord, Lord. But Jesus said, not everyone who call me Lord, Lord can enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of the Father. Because in those days, in the judgment time, a lot of people come to say to Jesus, Jesus, I cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, he betrayed Jesus. He did not leave stage one to go to stage three to walk with God, to do good deeds. He loved money. You understand? love to do good deeds. I know the stage one. No one is good, not even one. No one is righteous, not even one. But Jesus Christ recreated us is to do good work. He said, no, you can't do that. I'm still worrying. At night, I'm still afraid. You understand what I'm trying to say? How sad it is. 5 years a Christian. But I tell you, a lot of people remain like that. That's why it moved me to teach you the three stages of life. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord God Almighty. You don't memorize Bible verses in one day. You have to keep on memorizing. The more you memorize, the more you forget. But you don't give up though. Right? And one of these days, the Holy Spirit is going to help you to recall all of them when you need it. You got it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. What is in this world? The evil spirit. What is in my heart? The Holy Spirit. What is in my heart is powerful than what is in this world. So you're not afraid, right? You resist the devil. You don't afraid of the devil. You stand firm. Clothe yourself with the full armor of God and fight a good fight. You got that? That's the way to do it. Right? Right. Read that. 4:4. First John.
You dear children, of your God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Know what you have. You know? When you are afraid, you claim the promises that's written in the Bible. Isn't that what you told me, that what is in me is powerful than what is in this world? You are not a man that you should lie. No, you are a son of man that you change your mind. They're not giving it to me. Isn't that you're going to do a great thing for me? And please do it now. Does that make sense? That's how I learned how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I learned it from the Word of God. Because I do know one thing. 1 John chapter 5, 14 to 15. If I pray according to His will, if I pray according to His promise, if I pray according to His word, this is the confidence I have in Him. He can hear my prayer. You pray according to your own word? Well, good luck. He will say, when did I promise you? But that's your imagination, right? Read that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him.
What kind of a promise is that? Is it a great promise? I'll give you another one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. You know what? If you do, if you practice what you learn, you do exactly what He said. When you pray to God, God say, I answer your prayer. Because you did something that pleased me. You understand? Read that.
Dear friends, our hearts do not condemn us. We have confidence before God. And receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what He says.
So when you pray, you make sure you pray according to the will of God. When you pray, make sure you align your life with the life of Jesus. Make sure. you did something that pleases God. Does it make sense? It makes good sense. How do I know this is God's word? How do I know this is not John, Apostle John, an imagination? Because these Bible verses, 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, 22, is equivalent to Psalm 99, verse 6 and 7. In those days, when Moses, Aaron, and Samuel prayed to God, God answered his prayer. Why? Because when God speaks to them, they obey. These are God's word. Read that. Psalm 99, 6 and 7.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept the statutes and the decrees he gave them.
You know what? A lot of people, they don't memorize God's word. And then they hold on to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Pray and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And people say to Pastor John, I did that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because you don't memorize 1 John 5, 14 to 15. You don't pray according to God's word. You pray according to your own word. Secondly, when you pray, you don't obey God. You understand? You did exactly what God said. It works all the time. You know what? Carl gave me the BlackBerry playbook 2 months ago. Probably he thinks that John Lamb doesn't know the high tech and all that. So I downloaded the Mandarin Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It takes me 2 hours to download that, you know. And then I download the Cantonese Bible, so total is 4 hours. And then download it, but I didn't use it, but I used my own Bible to read the Bible. And 2 months later, I forget the password. And I open it. He said, I give it 10 times, the screen says, 10 times, everything will be wiped out. I forget the password, I try it 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 10 times, he wiped out everything. So, I'm thinking I lost 4 hours of my life, you know, because I forgot my password, because I don't use it all the time. Well, then I realize a lot of Christians, they don't read the Bible all the time. They forget God's word too, right? I don't think the person who used the BlackBerry playbook all the time, every day will forget the password, right? I didn't use it. I put it aside. 2 months later, I tried to lock it up. I thought I remembered. I tried 10 times. It doesn't work. And that stupid thing is not user-friendly either. You see? So I go back to my own ID and say, no, you cannot use this ID. Someone used it already. So I have to open up another ID. Then I write a letter to Carl. I say, Carl, everything wiped out. So what can I do? I want to get back the Bible, the audio Bible, Mandarin and Cantonese. And they give me the step by step. I don't jump the step. I follow that step. And I get it back. You understand? Brother and sister, you don't think you know the step. You ask someone who knows the step. Ask him to write out the step, step by step. You don't just hold on Matthew 7 and 7 and saying that God's word doesn't work. No, God's word works. Because every one of us, a mature Christian, know that. You don't pray according to your own will. You pray according to God's will. Does it make sense? You don't pray according to your own imagination. you pray according to God's promise. When you pray, you got to align your life with the life of Jesus Christ. That's why when we pray at the end of our prayer, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means telling God, this is how Jesus prayed. But Jesus didn't pray for money. You pray for money, you say, this is not how Jesus prayed. What did Jesus pray? Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Give me our daily bread. He didn't say, give me a lot of money. And then in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Jesus said, did I pray like that? No, I don't think so. You understand what I'm trying to say? We know half truth. That's why it doesn't work. When I write that email to Carl, I wait patiently. 24 hours later, she replied and gave me a stat. 1, 2, 3, 4. And give me a screen. You know, you will see this screen. You will see that. And you do that. Now I get it. You got that? Brother and sister, don't jump the step. Follow the step. There are three stages of our life. First stage is sinner. Not yet saved. Stage two, sinner. Saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Stage three, we got to walk with Jesus. I want to give you a Bible verses. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Then you tell me, is there any difference? Is there any difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? All right? Turn to 2 Timothy. Take a look of what Paul saying. Chapter 2, verse 19. Read that.
Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with his inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn from wickedness.
There are two statements that are inscribed on top of the solid foundations. The first statement is, the Lord knows those who are his. Statement number two, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. I want you to write it down. Second Timothy 2:19 equal to Luke chapter 6:46. Jesus said, how come you call me Lord, Lord, and do not obey what I commanded you? Read that. 6:46.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?
In here, when Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he's not just saying to the Jewish people. I think he's saying to all the Christians nowadays. We call Jesus Lord, Lord, but do not do what Jesus said. And then Paul explained it. What does it really mean? Chapter 2, verse 19, 2 Timothy. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Turn away from wickedness means do what Jesus said. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? That is stage 3 of our life. I want you to write it down. What Jesus is saying. Luke 6:46. Paul teaching. 2 Timothy 2:19. Paul teaching is Jesus' command. How do I know it's Jesus' command? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2. Jesus' order is through the teaching of the apostle. You got that? So this Jesus' command and apostle teaching is is New Testament. I want you to write down equal Psalm 95 is Old Testament teaching. And before I want you to read it, I want you to remember one thing. In those days, the Jewish people called the Lord Yahweh, God. Oh, you are mighty God, you are God. And yet, they do not obey God. And what happened? And God swear on oath that they can never enter the promised land. Don't kid yourself, man. The Old Testament teaching is in conformity with New Testament teaching. Why? Because Jesus said, don't ever think in Matthew chapter 5 that I come to abolish the law and the prophets. No, I come to fulfill. Could you read that? Psalm 95.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his lands and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Walk under his care.
When they say, here is our God, is that means that they confess the Lord is our God, our Maker, our Creator. Right? And yet, what happened?
Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah. As you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me. Though they had seen what I did, for 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They have not known my ways, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
When I call him Lord, and I disobey him. If I disobey him all the days of my life until I die, where do I go up according to Psalm 95? I can never enter God's rest. And that's why Paul saying, chapter 2, verse 19, on God's solid foundation, the Lord knows who is his. Second statement, anyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness and do what I say. You know what is live by grace? I practice it, I blew it. I stand up, I do it again. That's what it means by live by grace. He forgives me. It's even born. I refuse to do it. I keep on doing my own thing until I die. That is the way of the Israelite. They praise God with their lips, but their heart are far from the Lord. You understand? Don't do that. Turn around. What is the 5 step that I say, Christopher? Don't look at the notes. Step number one.
Study.
Step number two.
Memorize.
Number three.
Practice
it.
Teach.
And four, teach. The more you teach other people, the more help you to remember. And the Holy Spirit will say to you, you tell others to do it and you don't do it yourself? How dare you are to do that? You understand? Psalm 50 saying that. Don't ever do that. If you teach others to do it, you better do it yourself. You got that? So it's good to teach others. Because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. Finally, what do you do?
Preach.
Hmm?
Preach.
Preach. Preaching and teaching is the same thing, man. Pray. You pray for yourself and say, Lord, I'm weak. But give me a chance. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to make it. You got that? Everybody say? Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our children. And I pray that when your servant pass away, I pray that you give the baton to them. They're going to carry the baton and finish the task. And so that we're going to see you, not with the empty hand. We're going to enter the glorious kingdom with gladness. For we know that we have done what you commanded us to do. And I pray you be with us until we see you face to face. We give you thanks for who you are, for what you have done in our life, for keep on changing our life, and help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.